Well, to this point, the service has been as normal as we can get, but I'm going to change things up a little. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. I know it has some, we're doing something different. If you're visiting with us this morning, it'll go back to a different way, but we're doing things a little differently this morning than we sometimes do them. And as you're just kind of, if you will, kind of together, when I say together, silently, if you'll read in the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter, beginning at verse 5 for just a few verses, about John, all the way down to verse 12. And while you're doing that, the adults, I want all my children to stand up. Stand up, children. I want you all to come up here with me for a few minutes, and you'll kind of understand in a minute what I'm doing. I'm not going to eat you or attack you, I promise. We're going to go right back here. And I think you folks, in just a little while, we're going to be doing a baptism. Now, what you're going to enjoy about is we're going to take a little look at the tank a moment. And y'all just kind of look at that to kind of see whether there's water in there. And we turn the bubbles on later. Somebody's got a, it's not a girl. I don't know what that is in there all of a sudden. No, alligator. Oh, hang on. We need to help this one get to the front. Let her see. Don't hold her up. We don't want her down in the water. Somebody threw the right plastic right there. But here's what you'll enjoy. I'm going to take just a moment as you're just kind of reading that city and talk to them just a little bit. Now, let me tell you, if you suddenly get from your child, "I want to be baptized. I want to do that. Don't be afraid of that, but don't rush into that. Our son Rose was 6, 5, so they can that young. But I really want to take some time this morning to kind of just show them what we're doing. But what you'll enjoy is I heard about a preacher had done a number of baptisms, and a little boy looked at his mother after the service, and he said, "Mom, and they're fine. If they jump in, one of you go for them, okay? I'm not getting wet." And the little boy said to his mom, he said, "Why does the preacher have to bathe all those people on Sunday? Are they the ones that didn't take a bath on Saturday?" So any of you that didn't bathe last night, will you please raise your hand? We'll take care of you in just a moment. I think it's important that we just kind of show that. I want them to kind of see. And then they're going to stay in here, and I'm going to let them come back up here and kind of sit on the floor during the time, because I'm going to be doing a baptism this morning and kind of watch that and be out of your way. During the welcome time, we're going to do something difficult that I meant to get done before this and I didn't, and that will be coming in just a few moments. Right after the offertory and during the kind of welcome time, Robbie and whoever, Greg, I need this thing moved. If we just move it to the side. But let me spend just a few moments explaining to them, and you'll be able to hear, and then I want to come back and talk to you a few moments about what we call in the Baptist church the ordinance of baptism. Now, kids, there's another toy in there. Oh, man. Okay, we'll get it. Do you know what this is? This is what we call in the church a baptistry. Okay? No, good question. That's a good question. You only get baptized when you and your parents are ready for you to. Now, let me tell you why we do this. When you get grown enough that you ask Jesus to forgive you of the bad things you've done. And you know, I had never done any bad things, have you? Oh, Tammy, that was part of your crew that did that. I haven't done any bad things, and I got to, yeah, you have. Well, what we do is when you get to the point yourself that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come in your heart to live, what we do following that, yes, ma'am.
I don't know. We're going to find out in a minute. I'm going to get them out of there. But then after that, you are baptized. Now, when you're baptized, let me tell you, because we're going to let y'all watch the baptism in a minute. We fill it with water because Jesus was baptized, and you're baptized in water. Okay? Now, what it means, you'll see me in just a few minutes with my girl here. I'm going to baptize her. You'll see her go down into the water. When she goes down into the water, that represents the being buried that you're seeing, that what you've done is being buried. You're like Christ. Do you remember that Christ was buried?
No.
He was buried in a tomb. Yeah, but he didn't get baptized. Okay, let's go a minute. After that, you come out. So, all right, you're going to get to watch it later. Now, you only get baptized when you and your parents or grandparents and the pastor think you're ready. Okay? You're probably not ready yet then, okay? Okay. Well, we're going to let y'all come back up when we do the baptism, and you can kind of sit and watch from the floor. You can't stand up because the people won't be able to see. Okay? So when I'm going to let you go back to your chair now so you saw. Oh, you want to? Okay, hang on. I got to have some fun. I'll get rid of that. Now go. Any of you who think that your children or grandchildren, they're now Methodists. And any of you that are Methodists, half my family is Methodist. Monday I was with the celebration of my uncle in the Methodist church at his funeral. So please, I'm not trying to insult the Methodist, okay? I did tell my aunt when we were there, I walked up to the baptismal font, and we'll cover that in just a second. In the Methodist church, they and Presbyterian and some of the other churches, they sprinkle. I walked up, they have a little, what's called a baptismal font, if you're not aware of that. Those of you who haven't been in the Baptist church, or I mean the Methodist church or whatever, it just has a little cover over it. And I walked up to it before the service, and the bishop was there, their pastor, and I said, you know, I can't find the handle on this water fountain anywhere. And he said, you obviously are a Baptist, okay? And I said, well, I only have one problem with the way y'all do baptism. He said, what is that? Is it the fact that we baptize infants? I said, no. I said, my cousins are here today, and they were baptized this way. And I said, y'all don't get enough water on you to settle the dust on your sins, much less wash them away. This guy's sharp. He looks at me, he says, well, you're Dana, aren't you? I went, uh-oh. I hadn't told him who I was. He said, your Aunt Carolyn wants me to let you know that she said you needed to be immersed because you have a whole lot more to wash away. Well, in the life of the church, we have what we call two ordinances in the Baptist church. Why do we call it ordinances? Because we Baptists like to be different. Those two ordinances are the Lord's Supper and baptism. In other churches, they call them sacraments. It is the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In the scripture we're about to look at, the first evidence we have of New Testament baptism. Now, the idea of washings and cleansing and using water symbolically to wash or to cleanse goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Aaron, when he became the high priest, was washed with water by people, and the others, the Levites, were as a symbolic way of saying, you are cleansed. John comes, this is John the Baptist, John in the scripture, let's read it together. It says, then Jerusalem was going out to him, meaning John the Baptist, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the river as they confessed their sins. It goes on to talk about that he saw many of the religious leaders and he condemned them because they thought they didn't need. John came as the forerunner to Christ, preaching repentance. And he's preaching repentance and that the kingdom of God is coming. In fact, he's telling them that the Messiah is coming and that they need to be baptized for the repentance of sin. The key to here is that the repentance comes first. We see what the idea of baptism is here, and what it is all along is it's a symbolic idea of cleansing. Now, if you were to read further in the scripture, you find that Jesus was baptized. People don't usually ask this, but why did Jesus need to be baptized? Jesus didn't need to repent of anything. He clearly was sinless. If he wasn't sinless, then we don't have a Savior. But it says that Jesus was baptized. The reason Jesus did this was to go along with the idea, to introduce the idea. Jesus said, I'm going to be baptized also. It was not necessary for the same thing, but the scripture says that Jesus went down into the Jordan and he was baptized. And when he came up out of the water, the scripture tells us that the Spirit of God rested upon him, and that God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 28, verse 19. When we get to this particular passage, we see Jesus' command about baptism. Jesus is giving the Great Commission. He has gone to the cross. He has been gloriously resurrected. He is about to go home to heaven. And the Holy Spirit will be coming soon. But Jesus gives his disciples, his followers, he says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I command you to do. Listen to what he says. All authority, in verse 18, has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples, followers, and he says, do it in all nations. And what does he say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands his disciples to do what he had done, to be baptized, and we believe they were baptized, and to baptize others. Baptism is part of the very fabric of the church. Why be baptized? Why should I be baptized? Well, the reason for being baptized is to show the world something a decision you've made. Why should I be baptized? Because if you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart, you have become saved. You are to follow that with baptism. Why? Well, let's say you do that in your home. Maybe during your quiet time, or you do it somewhere very privately or just among a few folks. Nobody knows you're a Christian. Nobody knows the decision you've made. Jesus wants you to be willing to publicly say, I'm not ashamed to tell somebody I'm a Christian. Baptism is one of the ways that you publicly demonstrate a decision you've made privately. What's that decision? I have asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin, to come into my heart, and I'm now a follower of His. So, that's why we're baptized. I want you to notice that Jesus says that we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So baptism is something that Jesus commanded us to do. Can you be saved and not be baptized, people ask. The question is yes, under certain circumstances. For those of you that know your Bible well, know that when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified between two criminals. At first, those criminals are cursing him and fussing at him and yelling at him and saying things about him. One of them has a change of heart because he knows that he's just moments from facing God. And that criminal turns to Jesus and he says to Jesus, and this is found in the Gospel of Luke, if you'd like to turn there with me, the 24th chapter, the 39th verse. Excuse me, that would be 23:39. chapter 23 of Luke 39. Now this is, can you be saved and not be baptized? In other words, can you become a Christian and not be baptized? The answer is yes under certain circumstances. It says, one of the criminals who were hanging there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Verse 40 says, but the other said, in rebuking him, do you not even fear God since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? What he's saying is, you and I are hanging up here because we're guilty. This is an innocent man. And indeed we are suffering, for we are justly receiving what we deserve. And then it looks to Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, because Jesus knew that he had very few moments to live, this day, sir, you will be with me in paradise. So yes, you can be saved. You can accept Christ and not be baptized. Now I need to tell you something. There is a major mainline denomination in America, and they've done this for some time, who actually says you cannot be saved if you're not baptized. In other words, if you were on an airplane and the plane is going down, it hasn't crashed yet, and I were sitting beside you and I were to say to you, sir, if you will confess your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you and come into your heart, you can be saved and you can be in heaven forever. If I was a pastor of that particular denomination, I couldn't say that. Because they believe that if you're not physically baptized, you cannot go to heaven. Now I need you to understand something. You can go in that tank 787 times. It is not a matter of whether you were baptized or not, whether you went in the water and you did everything the church said to do. It has to do with a change of heart. Have you in your heart, not in your head, said, I accept the fact that I'm a sinner and that Christ died for my sin and that he's come into my heart. And now I want to tell the world that I'm a follower of Christ. Now, so we know that. What if I choose not to? I've run into folks at times that have said, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to be baptized. Well, my only response to that is, that's your decision, but you're disobeying a command of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 28, make disciples of them, bring them to him, and be baptized. You go, well, I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Well, I have actually baptized folks that were afraid of water. There have been folks that have been, let's say, now, Mary wouldn't be a problem because we could get her there. We'd say, well, what about somebody in a wheelchair? We couldn't get there. We can take her down the lake, push her in down there, but, you know, I'll come get you, I promise. After Dan does. Now, so, there's no excuse for not being. When are you to be baptized? This is the universal question in the church. Some of you know, and I'm not going to take the time this morning because we're going to move on with the service. The Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, Kay's not here today, is she? That would be fun. And others, the Methodists, sprinkle instead of immerse. Listen, everybody goes, you need to do baptism, you know, you need to be immersed because the word baptized means baptizo, which means to go down into the water. Listen, I don't care how you're baptized. I do care when. Here's the difference between Baptists and those other denominations as far as baptism. I'm not saying sprinkling's wrong. We do not baptize infants, and they do. They have a reason for doing that. They have their own theology for doing that. I'm not arguing with it and saying that it's wrong. We believe that you're baptized. I want you to hear this. You're baptized following your decision to accept Christ. Not your decision to join the church. You join the church and not be baptized. You can be baptized, join the church, and still be lost because you never made that decision to accept Christ into your heart. So when we believe in what we call believer's baptism, that is after your decision. I want you to look with me that we have scriptural evidence to support that. You say, well, what about those folks that baptized infants and they usually have a confirmation class? Those of you that know those particular, you know, they have something where there does come a time when the person does accept Christ or comes to that decision. We just believe that it should follow that decision. Acts 2, and then we're going to move on with the service. You're going to have your offertory and your welcome time and the children's loose change offering. And Bree and I are going to go get ready to show the children and you what it's all about. Right, baby? Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit has come and Peter is preaching. Peter is preaching that day and 3,000 people are convicted in their heart of the need to repent of their sin and to accept this Christ he's talking about. In verse 37 it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" Repent. What does that mean? That means to confess your sin, to say that I'm going to turn from my sin. Repent, he says, and be what?
Baptized.
Baptized. It is following their decision. Oftentimes, I will have children come up to me. I want to be baptized, and I'll go, "Parents, don't make them wait till they're 17, and they understand it all, because you're probably in your 20s or 30s, and you still don't understand it all." So they're not going to understand it all. Salvation and baptism is the beginning. It's not the end. It is the beginning step. So we have the why and the when and the whatever, and now we're going to do it. We're going to have, Wayne's going to lead you in our offertory because we've got to make sure we get that collected. We then will have the doxology. You're going to have your children's loose change offering. And I got to dig in here and get my loose change. Whoever can get here before they move the pulpit, make sure you watch the ushers that they don't steal that. Okay, children? And then we're going to celebrate baptism. Now, stand with me a moment. We're going to pray. You're going to remain standing. Wayne's going to come lead us in the offertory, and we'll zip through the rest of the service. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you to be able to show the children what's going on, and we're going to let them come and watch as they probably watched in Jesus' day. When they were baptized, they were usually baptized in the Jordan or some body of water. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be able to demonstrate this today. And we thank you for your love. Now, Lord, as we come to receive our tithes and offerings, we just give you the praise and glory in this place. Amen.
Can everybody see?
Yes.
And I've got my little ones up here because I wanted this. This is Brianna Michelle. Is that it? Brianna Michelle Layla. And we have Mama right here. Eddie right there. Everybody taking all the pictures they want to take. And if Randy, if you need to come up here and get some, you do that.
Thank you.
And we got other children up here. And, but let's take a moment. Children, bow your heads. We're going to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. Brianna had made a private, personal decision with her parents to ask Jesus to forgive her sin and to come into her heart, and he now is hers. She comes today to witness to this congregation that she is a follower of Jesus Christ. We thank you for her, we love you, and we know that this is just the beginning for her. As she grows in Christ, we just give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Brianna, as you go down into the water, that is symbolic of your sins being buried like Christ was buried in the tomb. As you come back out, raised to new life. All right? Brianna, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, raised with Christ in the likeness of the resurrection. God
Got anything you want to say to him? You made it, right? You okay? All right.
Amen.